The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Good evening, everyone. The Megillas Esther, the story of Purim, is based on the victory of Mordechai and Esther over Haman Arosha. And Haman was from Amalek. Megillah tells us he was Agogi. He was from Amalek and Agog. Amalek was a nation which was Ben Benashel Esav, the grandson of Esav. To understand better what took place, we have to go into a little background. Firstly, Amalek is the confrontation of Amalek with Israel is first mentioned at the end of Parshas Bishalach. Vayovei Amalek vayilochem im Yisrael b'refidim. This shortly after the Kriyas Yamsuf, after Klal Yisrael went out of Egypt with all of the miracles, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the Makkos, through the plagues, destroyed Egypt. And then they went through the Red Sea with all of the miracles. Then it states, Vayovei Amalek vayilochem im Yisrael b'refidim. Amalek came and made war against them. This we see from the Torah, and our sages confirm it. The Chazal say this was the Umar Ishaina Shebol Isdavik B'Melchome Im Israel. This was the first nation that came to war against Israel after they went out of Egypt. And this is something to think about, because at that time it states that all of the other nations were frozen with fear and terror. At the time of the Kriyas Yamsuf, Moshe sang, Shomo Amim Yirgozum, Chilochash Yeshve Peloshes, that all of the nations heard, and they were terrorized. And fear took hold of the Peloshes of the Plishtim, and so forth. The fact is, well, later on, when Yeshua was to go into the land of Eretz Yisrael, the nations were still terrorized. Nevertheless, Vayove Amalek came and to war with Israel. As it's going to be explained shortly, V'leyor Elekim, they didn't fear Hashem. Everyone saw the miracles. Everyone feared the Almighty. They feared His Majesty. They feared Israel. But Amalek didn't fear. They weren't moved, and they were total non-believers. And Amasha appointed Yeshua. Choose for yourself men and go and war against Amalek. Why Yeshua? Medrash brings one reason, because Yeshua was going to be the one who would go into Eretz Yisrael with the people. And there, who would go into Eretz Yisrael with the people, and there he would have to make war against all of the seven nations and the 31 kings, and therefore he wanted to train Yeshua, get him used to the idea of leading Israel to battle. But the Medrash brings a second reason. The quality, the midah of Amalek was lo yor elekim. They had no fear of Hashem. What does that mean? They were kefer b'hashkochas Hashem. They denied that HaKadosh Baruch Hu ruled the world. You know, we can see, and we can choose to see, and we can choose not to see. Two people can witness the greatest miracle, and one will declare the miracle, and the other will declare it's a natural phenomenon. And this we see all of the time. One will look at the human being and say, oh, like Avraham, this testifies to the Creator. Another will look at the human being and say, I will say that this testifies to evolution. See? He came from a monkey. And this is the Bechira. This is the choice that was given to man. And Amalek chose not to see. They witnessed the greatest miracles, but La Yor Elakim. If this was their quality, so then Moshe said, let the descendant of someone who said as Elakim Ani Yore, that I fear Hashem, let him go and make battle with Amalek. And who was that? That was Yosef. Yosef was the one who always was saying as Elakim Ani Yore. Wherever he was, he feared Hashem. When he was by his father Yaakov, or if he was in Egypt, if he was in a slave in the house of Potiphar, if he was in the dungeon, if he became the almighty viceroy of Parai, es elokim ani yore, I fear Hashem. So let the ben benoi, Yeshua, came from Ephraim. Ephraim was the son of Yosef. Let the one who said es elokim ani yore, that I fear Hashem, let him be the one to do battle with those who are lo yore elokim, do not fear Hashem. Perhaps also included in this reason is that there is a prophecy from the sages that Eina Nefel Beneshel Esav Ela Liyad Ela Bidei Boneho Shel Rochel, that the downfall of Esav will eventually be by the hands of the sons of Rochel, which means either Yosef or Binyamin. Therefore, we needed someone here from the seed of Rochel, and Yeshua was a good candidate. So therefore, Moshe chose Yeshua. It states that Yeshua went, and he fought against them. The Torah tells us what took place. And Vayachleish Yeshua Samolek Vesamoy Lefichorv. And Yeshua weakened the nation. He killed off the Giborim, the strong ones, left only the weak ones, but he didn't annihilate them. So Rashi tells us from the Medrash, Mikanon Olamedim, Shosal Piadibo Shoshkina. For various reasons, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not let Yeshua at that time annihilate Amalek, only decimate them, to weaken them, and that job would be kept for someone else later on. Then Vayemar Hashem al Moshe, Hashem said to Moshe, Ksev zeizikoren basefer v'sim be'ozne Yeshua. Write this down in the sefer and give this over to the ears of Yeshua. That I shall totally eradicate the remembrance of Amalek mitachas hashomayim, from beneath the heavens. Now this was given to Yeshua. Rashi tells us, "Amachnis es Yisrael l'oritz." Yeshua will be the one who will bring them to Eretz Yisrael, and there he should be mitzaveh. He should command Yisrael l'shalem es gmulei, to repay what is owed to Amalek. Because why to Yeshua? Because he will be the one. Moshe won't bring them into Eretz Yisrael. The opportunity will come only after they go to Eretz Yisrael. And Kimacho Emcho, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I want them. I want them eradicated. I want them eradicated. Not only do I want them defeated, not only do I want them to become taken prisoner, I want them totally eradicated as Zecher. Every remembrance of them eradicated. Mitachas Hashemoy, that there shouldn't be a remembrance of them left beneath the heavens. This is what the Almighty said. Vayomer, and then the Almighty says further, Ki yod al kes yom ilchoma ladinoi ba'amolek midor dor. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that I raise my hand and I take an oath. I take an oath over my throne and by my name that I shall have war with Amalek in every generation. This is the Almighty talking. Kel Mekomas. Hashem Milchomo. This is the God of revenge and the God of war. He says, I take an oath. I raise my hand over my throne that I shall have war with this nation every generation. See, for this, it tells us that the power of Amalek will be existing in every generation. The word throne, Yod al Kase, Kise, is written Chosar, is lacking a letter. The word Ko, Yudhe, Hashem's name, is lacking letters. So Rashi brings from the Chazal, Ein Kise Sholem, my throne is not complete. Ein Shmi Sholem, and my name is not complete. Achi Yimcha Yishmei Shel Amalek Kula, as long as there's a remembrance of the name of Amalek in the world. And therefore, I command you to do this. When will my throne be complete and my name be complete? Voya Hashem Lemelech Bayemahu Yashemechot Ushmayachot. Then on that day, when Amalek will be destroyed, then my throne will be complete. So what do we see from here? We see that they are contradictory. If Amalek is in the world, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name and throne is as if it's not here. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name and throne is in the world, that's because Amalek is not here. But both cannot be in the same place. And therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, save, write it in the Sefer Torah and command Yeshua to see that they are totally eradicated. We have another parsha, and the other parsha is at the end of Kisetze, and that's what we will be reading this Shabbos, known as Shabbos Zohar, because since, as mentioned, the war, the victory of Purim was between Mordechai and Esther and Yehudim and Amalek, Haman, so therefore the Shabbos before Purim we read the parsha Zohar. This parsha writes, Zohar es asher osa locho Amalek baderech. Remember. From here the sages learn, we can mitzvah zechira. It's a mitzvah minatera to remember. And hainu bepeh. That means through your mouth. We have to not only remember in our minds, but remember through our mouths. Therefore it's a mitzvah to read, see, or at least to declare or read from the Sefer Torah at least one time a year what Amalek did. Remember what Amalek did to you. When you were coming out of Eretz Mitzrayim, out of Egypt. That they were the first nation to come and stand up against you. Asher korcho baderech. Korcho, the word korcho, Rashi brings as three meanings. First of all, loshen mikro. They came at you in a coincidental manner. Now, mikro always means something which is not. Mikro is always a word which is used for something which is not part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan of the creation, but something outside. It just coincidentally, haphazardly happened. This is one word which is referred to them. Dovacha loshen keri v'tuma. Also, they came with you, to you, with tuma, impurities. Dovacha, a third interpretation. Korcha means kor v'chaim, from the term cold. Tzinancho v'shircho mirisichoscho. They cooled off the picture, because when you went out of Eretz Israel, Eretz Mitzrayim, so every nation was afraid of you. The fear and the terror was at a heating point. They were all afraid. No one would dare stand up against you. Just like you have superpowers, and nobody would dare to start up with a superpower. So was it with Klal Yisrael. Nobody would dare to stand up against them when they went out of Egypt. They started And they showed ways for others to follow. The Rashi brings an example. If you have a boiling hot, a very, very hot swimming pool, a bath, and nobody will jump into it. But once some person comes, a machutzer will come and he'll jump into it, so then he lends place for others to follow, because he cools it off. So these are the three interpretations. Now all three lead in one way. Mikra means something which is outside of the intent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't plan. All of the world he planned. This is something outside, because that's the essence of Amalek. They do not believe in the guiding hand and control of the Almighty. Secondly, Tumah. They represent the impurities. Thirdly, by doing this, what do they cool off? They cool off the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ruler of the world and Yisrael is his nation. And therefore others will come to fight and to start. And they came and they killed many of Klal Yisrael. And it's brought that they mutilated many of Klal Yisrael. They were very cruel, ruthless people. They mutilated them. And you were tired. You were fatigued. You had just come from 400 years in Egypt. V'layore elekim. And they did not fear Hashem. This is the underlying essence of Amalek. Now this comes from their grandfather Esav. Because Esav also was v'layore elekim. When Yaakov said, sell to me the birthright, Esav said, what is it for? What is its value? So he said, the value is because if you're the firstborn, you get to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you'll have reward in the next world. He said, Loma li b'cheirosi, what do I need it for? V'hine honechi holech lomos. I'm going to die in this world. Why should I worry about the next world? I need to eat in this world, not in the next world. Mikan shekofa b'tchiyas ha-mesa. From here we see that Esav denied that there would be a next world. He says, the food that you are cooking is much more value to me, because it will give me this world than the birthright, which will give me something that I'll never see because it doesn't exist. Mikan shekofa b'tchiyas ha-mesa. This was Amalek, his grandson. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you peace from all of your enemies, from around you in Eretz Yisrael, you shall go and destroy the remembrance of the Amalek. So from here we see that when will we fulfill this mitzvah, have an opportunity to fulfill it? Only after we go into Eretz Yisrael and we have peace from our other enemies, then we'll have the mitzvah, the opportunity to fulfill it. And again it states, you shall eradicate them mitachas ha-shomayim, from beneath the heaven. Le'tishkoch, you shall not forget. Besides zohar, le'tishkoch. See, free beings, zebelev. Zohar bepeh, you must positively remember this by reading it every year, and le'tishkoch, and do not let it become forgotten, believe in your heart. In Parshas Bolok, which is Bamidbar Chof Dalet, Posuk Chof, when Bilam was called to curse Klal Yisrael, and instead he blessed them, and then he took a look around, it says, "Vayares Amalek vayisom mishalov vayemar." he took a look at Amalek, and he said a parable. He said, Reishis Goyim Amalek. Amalek is the Reishis. They are the beginning of all of the nations. What does this mean? What does it mean, that the beginning of all the nations? They're not the beginning. They came much later, much, much later. The nations were created by Noah and his 70 sons. They came after Abraham and after Yitzchak and after Yaakov, after Esav. So what does it mean, Reishis Goyim? So Rashi explains, like we're learning, Hu kodem es kulam li lochem b'Yisrael, v'chein tirgem unkelas. Reishis Goyim, they are the, not only the first, they are the beginnings of all of the nations to stand up against Klal Yisrael. Lule Amalek, if not for Amalek, then no nation would have stood up against Yisrael. This is what Bilam saw in Amalek. Reishis Goyim, Amalek. Be'achrisoi, and its end, what will be her end? Adi Eved, total destruction. What is that? Why? Like it states, Rashi brings, Timchezech Ramalek, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will not rest in this world until they are totally eradicated, and there will be nothing left of them. Actually, the Rambam brings, it is possible for Amalek to come and to be Megayer, or to accept design mitzvahs and servitude and so forth. But as long as they do not, then total eradication. Once they do that, then they're like a different nation. But otherwise, total destruction. So this is what Bilam saw. Achrisai, her end is Ade Oved, destruction in totality. Unlike all other nations. All other nations, states, Losi Lova, when the Melech HaMashiach will come, they could take a turn for the good, and they could join to serve Hashem, but not Amalek, as a nation. Now I'd like to go and follow this a bit to a little time later on, and this is in Sefer Shmuel. In Sefer Shmuel Aleph, Perek Tes Vov, Klal Yeshua came into the land after the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. He brought Klal Yisrael into the land and inherited. He conquered the nations and inherited the land. Then came the time when the first king was established, and this was Shaul. Shaul was from Binyamin. Vayeme Shmuel el Shaul, and Shmuel said to Shaul, Osi shalach Hashem limshochacho lemelech al amei al Yisrael. Hashem has sent me to anoint you and to make you king of Yisrael. Vato, and now shma lekol divrei Hashem, and now listen to the words of Hashem. Ke omar Hashem tzevokeis pokadati eis asher oso amolek l'Yisrael. And he started to instruct Shaul in the war against Amalek. Now why, what does this have to do here? The Gemara tells us in Masechta Sanhedrin, and Daf Chof Amud Beis, it states that when we go into Eretz Yisrael, Kishenichnaso Ba'oretz, Gimel Mitzvahs Mitztavu, we will be commanded in three mitzvahs that we can fulfill them. What are the three mitzvahs? To appoint a king, to destroy Amalek, and to build the Beis HaMikdash. These are three mitzvahs we can fulfill only when we go into Eretz Yisrael. And what is the Seder HaDvorim? What should be the order? First, to appoint a king. Then to destroy Amalek. Evidently, we'll need a king in order to destroy Amalek. and then to build the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore Shmuel called Shaul and he said, now that you have been appointed king, now you have another order of business. Listen to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to command you. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Kei Amar Hashem, Pokarati Yesh Asher Oso Amalek LiYisrael. The word Pokarati generally means I remember. I remember what Amalek did to Israel, Baderech, when they came out from Egypt. But the word Pokarati is a strange word. It doesn't only mean remember. Pokad doesn't mean it should say Zohar. So the Yalkut Shemoni writes, Omer of Acha, Akorish Borchul Balpik Denis. Pokadati comes from the word Pikodon. Pikodon. Pikodon means something that you entrust, you give over to someone else for trust. Amalek hifkid etzel HaKadosh Baruch Hu chavilo shel keitzim v'higzel HaKadosh Baruch Hu chavilo shel keitzim shenem pokadati yesh asher oso Amalek liYisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Amalek has given me something, they entrusted something to me. They entrusted something to me, so I got to give it back to them. What did they entrust with me? They entrusted me with me what they did to Israel. So now I have to return it to them. Sometimes it's lara, sometimes it's not good, sometimes it's good, because we see the same thing by Sora. If kido etz la korish borchu mitzvos v'maisim tevim lefichov v'ashem pokad es Sora. Sora put in trust by Hashem many mitzvos and many good deeds. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I have to return these to her. Therefore it states, Vashem Pokad Es Sora. So that's what Pokad always means. So what is the difference between Zohar and Pokad? Zohar is just when you remember something. Pokad is when you remember something which was given to you, and now you have to give it back. You have to make a retribution. Sometimes it could be good. Sora gave a lot of good things to Hashem. So Vahashem Pokad Es Sora. Now he had to return them. And he came to her and gave her a son. Pokadati as Amalek. Amalek has entrusted me with something. I have to give it back to them. So he said, now's the time.
Atolech v'kisos Amalek. So Shmuel said to Shaul, go and destroy Amalek. We see from here that the tzivui, the command, was very, very explicit, and we see all encompassing. Destroy everything that is theirs. Leisachmul olav. Do not have rachmonis.
This is going contrary to what we might call the Jewish nature. Go and destroy Amalek. Destroy everything that they have. Everything. Where's Rachmonis? Leisachmol olav. Do not have any chemlo. Do not have mercy on them. This was the tzivui. This was the command Shmuel was giving to Shaul. Then he goes and he says it further. Vehemato, you shall kill me ish v'ad isha. Man to woman. Me olel v'ad yonek. Child to suckling. Mishor v'atzer. From the bull to the sheep. Migomel v'at chamor. And from the camel to the donkey. This is something to think about. You don't have a more explicit, all-encompassing directive. Lech v'kiso Amalek. Go and destroy them. All of them. V'achramtem eskola sheloi. Destroy everything that they have. What about compassion? V'leisachmol olov. Do not have compassion on them. V'heimato ish v'ad isha. Kill man and woman. Me'olel v'ad yonek. Child and suckling. Mishor v'ad seh. From the bull to the sheep. Migomel v'ad chamor. From the camel to the donkey. Why the animals also? Why the animals? Because Rashi says, as long as the animals remain, so then there's a Zeichar Amalek, there's a remembrance of them, because people will say, these animals once belonged to Amalek. Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't want them in the world. Vayishama shor lesom vayif kedem batroi mosai elef ragli. So Shaul brought the nation together and he gave them these instructions, and he counted 200,000 of the people. He counted them by sheep, it states. You're not allowed to count Jews, so he had everyone take a sheep, and then he counted the sheep, and he knew how many he was going to have. Ba'aseres alofim es ish Yehuda, and another 10,000 from Yehuda. And Shaul came to the city of Amalek, vayorev banochel, and there he battled in the Nachal. Nachal is a place where a river goes. It's an interesting Gemara. The Gemara brings him a Masechta Yuma, both in the Gemara and in the Yalkut. What does it mean he battled in the Nachal? The Gemara says, Omer Abmoni, this is a Gemara in Yuma, Daf Chof Beis, Omer Beis, Omer Abmoni al Iske Nachal. This was not the battle with Amalek. This was a battle that he had with himself and his generals before the war of Amalek. Al Iske Nachal, which had to do with another Nachal. Bishosh Amalek HaKadosh Baruch Hu Leik V'Kisses Amalek. When Hashem said, go and destroy Amalek. So Shaul and his generals started to discuss the following. Uma nefeshacha somrotere heve egla rufa kol nevoshes alola lachas kama vakama. The halach is that if one person is murdered and you can't find the murderer, say the Jews are commanded that when it comes to shvichas domim, the spilling of blood, this is not a light matter, not like it's taken in the world today. In the world we live in, a world of crime and a little world of violence and a world of terrorism and a world of war. So life is nothing. Not by Klal Yisrael. If one man was found murdered outside of a city and they couldn't find the murderer, so then it states that the city, Ayir HaKreva, El HaCholol, the city that was closest, the judges of that city, the elders of that city, would have to go down to a nachal. They'd go down to a valley where there's a river, and there they would bring an egla arufa, they would bring a calf, and they would kill the calf, and that would be a kapora for them, because they were really held responsible, because there was a murderer in their city or near their city, and the murderer could not be found. If you find the murderer, then the blood of the murderer atones for the murdered one. But if you can't find the murderer, so then the judges are responsible. They represent the city. So they had to bring this egla arufa in the Nachal, see, in the valley where there was a river. Now, Shaul started to say, he says, if this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how he considers one nefesh, one life, have a kol anafoshes alolo alachas kama vakama, so then how can we go and kill tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of Amalekim? Vim odom choto, and if they are responsible because they're monsters. Here we're talking of the grandsons of Esau. We're talking here of the Nazis. So if the men are responsible, behema machoto. But what about the animals? Why should you kill the innocent animals? This is all conversations we hear today. We hear this today. What are you holding against the Nazis? Can't hold them all responsible. And if it were the adults were the murderers, kitani machoto. But what do you have against the children? This is what is meant by Yorav Anocha. They had a debate. They had a session, of the cabinet, al iske nochal, on this issue.
Yotzes Baskol. A Baskol came down, and what did it say? Alti tzadik harbe.
Alti hi tzadik harbe. Shol! Don't be such a tzadik. Don't be over-righteous. Alti tzadik harbe yesem iboracho. Don't be more righteous than he who has created righteousness. Don't try to show more compassion than he who has created compassion. Don't show more concern for life than the one who has taught us concern for life. Alti tzadik harbe. What is this posuk, alti tzadik harbe? This is a posuk in Keheles. In Keheles, Shlomo HaMelech said, in Zayin Pasuk Tes Zayin, and these whole psukim are all written in regards to Shol. This is how Rashi explains in Keles. Al ti tzadik harbe. Don't be too righteous. This is very interesting, because as we'll see further, we live in a time when people want to be tzadik harbe. They want to be very righteous. They want to be more righteous, too righteous, in many aspects. You find this amongst the liberals. They want to say, how can you put a criminal to death? How could you punish a criminal? How can you throw a criminal in jail? All right, give him a fine, give him 2 months. Just because he killed 15, 20 people, so what? Just because he murdered, just because he raped, just because, you know, the criminal, he has a right to be cruel. But the innocent, they don't have a right to be cruel. And there's so many places that have repealed the death penalty. But this Alti Tzadik Harbe is not only there. We find, even in Yiddishkeit, we find that we're going through a era when people are obsessed with chumrah. They're obsessed with chumrah. I want to tell you something. And amongst the Gedele Lithuania, Gedalim of Lithuania, Gedele tells, this was scorned upon when it ever came across. It was scorned upon. Whenever it happened that someone wanted to do a little more than he was required, immediately a Rosh Hashiva would say, "Al titzadik harbe," states. Quote the posuk. This was margal b'puma. This was common talk. You do what is required of you. More, that already needs great thought if you should do more. Because who says more is better? Who says more is better? If this is what the Torah told you to do, this is what you do. Not less and not more. Because in your little mind, you think more is better. It's like going to a doctor and the doctor tells you, here, take 2 of these pills a day. You take 2 and you feel so good, the next day you decide to take 6. See? 2? So 6 is better? Understand? But this is what the Baskol told Shaul. Shaul was coming. He says, how can you kill hundreds of thousands of people when one person was killed? So the Zikne Ayir, the elders of the city, had to bring a kapora, an atonement for themselves, a nefesh achas. And here, we should kill hundreds of thousands. You might say like this. You might say, one person kills, he gets the death penalty. What happens if 10 people kill? They should also get the death penalty. What happens if 1,000 kill, 10,000 kill? What are you going to say? You can give 1,000 people the death penalty. Can't give 10,000 people to 10,000. And if 1,000,000 kill, how can you kill 1,000,000 people? So this is what Shaul was saying. And if the people are responsible, what are you killing innocent animals for? And if the gedalim, the adults are responsible. What's it have to do with the children? So Bas Kol came down and said, Sho'ol, alti tzadik harbe. Don't be over-righteous. Valtishakim yeser. The Rashi says, don't make kalvachemes of shtus. Don't start making pilpul. Make Torah against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu explicitly, the directive was explicit. You want to be more righteous than your Creator? Lama tishemeim. Because if you will do that, then you will destroy yourself. You will totally isolate. Shamomo, you will become desolate. Then the next pasuk states, Altir Shaharbe, Valti Sochel. Don't be too wicked, and don't be a fool. Lomo somus belei itecho. Why should you choose to die before your time? What is this referring to? What this is referring to, Shlomo HaMelech, is referring that the Gemara tells us, it states that one of his main advisors of Saul in this debate was a very, very great individual. And he was a great Talmud Chacham, very great Talmud Chacham. And his name was Daig Vadomi. The fact is, it states that he was of such stature, he was equal to the whole nation. Daig Vadomi. And he was one of the great advisors in this. Later on in the Tanakh, when Shaul starts to battle with David HaMelech many years later, and David runs away because Shaul wanted to kill him, and David takes refuge in the city of Ir Nev HaKohanim. It was a city called Nov. It was the city of the Kohanim, and there the Kohanim helped him. They gave him food and they gave him weapons. And then David went into refuge. And in Perechot Beis, Posuk Yud Ches, in Shmuel, it states that Shaul said, he said, why isn't anybody telling me where David is hiding out? This is actually in Posuk Zayin. Shimu Noah b'nei Yemini, gam lekulchem, yitein ben Yishai sodus ukromim, ki kashartem kulchem alive, ein geiles ozni. Are you all on his side? None of you will tell me where he's hiding. Bayan deig ha'adomi, v'hu nitzav alav deishol v'yemar. Now, Doeg ha'adomi was there in that city, and he told Shaul, and he said, v'yishas ben Yishai bo neiva. I saw that Ben Yishai, the man you're looking for, David, he went to that city, and that city helped him out. So Shaul became furious, and he went to the city, and he commanded his soldiers to kill off all of the Kohanim. And they looked at him and they said, how can we kill off the Kohanim? Kohani Hashem, the priest of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just because he helped David. And they did it in all innocence. They didn't know that Shaul had become Shaul had considered David an enemy. So they wouldn't kill him. They wouldn't kill the Kohanim. So in Pasuk Yud Ches it states, "Vayema Melech LeDoeg." So he said to Doeg, "Save ato ufka b'Kohanim. You go and you kill the Kohanim." Vayisav Doeg o Adami vayifka. So Doeg himself went and he killed 85 Kohanim, those who dressed in the big dekun and the garments of the Kohanim.
And now they went and they killed off the whole city. And when they killed the whole city, they killed man and woman. Olel v'adyonik. They killed the sucklings and the small children. Shor v'chamor. They killed the bull and the donkey, the seh and the sheep lefi chorev. Does it ring a bell? So the Baskol said to Shol, Al tia tzadik harbe. Don't be more righteous than your creator. You take orders, what he says, and you do. Val tishakim yeser. And don't become too wise with too much kal v'chemers and pilpils. See? And this Torah. That's what the Baskol said. And then, by the episode of Dog Ahadomi and the Ira Kahanim, so the Baskol came again to him and said, is this familiar? Here you're killing everyone off and they're all innocent, and there you refuse to kill the guilty. So the Baskol came and said, Al tishar habe, don't be such a rosho. Al tisochel, don't be a fool. Loma somos belei itecho, why should you die belei itecho before your time? And Rashi brings in Divrei Hayomim, it states Vayoma Shol b'moalo. Shol died for two reasons. Moalo, because of two sins. One sin was the sin of Nov Ira Kahani, and the other sin was the sin of Amalek, that he didn't do what he was commanded to do with Amalek. And the Medrash brings out from here, what do we see? We see that someone who is merachim ala achzorim, sefer le'achzor ala rachmonim. Someone who has rachmonis, compassion, in a place where you should not have compassion. That's not shitkis, that's not righteousness, that's not innocence. That's brutality. And if a person can have compassion against the cruel, this is a brutality. And in the end, he will show a brutality to the innocent. So therefore, Shlomo HaMelech is telling us, Al tishakim harbe, don't be too righteous. Al tishakim yeser, don't be too clever. Al tirsha harbe, because then you'll come to be too wicked. Teva shetecha is bozeh ubegamizeh, ki yirei lekim yetzeh eskulam. But rather you should do both. You do whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you. Yirei lekim, fear Hashem. If he tells you to do something with the right hand, then you do it with the right hand. If he tells you to do it with the left hand, you do it with the left hand. Fear Hashem, and then you yetzeh deshneim, and then you will be perfect. So this is what took place al iske nochal. Then the story continues. Vayach shol es Amalek. Shol went and destroyed Amalek. And vayitfes es Agog. And they went and they captured Agog, the king of Amalek, choy, alive. But the rest of the nation, they decided to destroy. After they heard the Baskol, the voice from heaven. Vayachmo Shol v'omal Agog, and Shol and the nation had rachmonis on Agog. Now the Medrash tells us who was the nation. Someone who was in stature equal to the whole nation. And that was Doeg. See, Doeg was there, Doeg Adomi. And they had compassion on Agog, and on Meitav Atzein V'Abokar, and they had compassion on the best of the sheep and on the best of the cattle and on whatever was good, and they only destroyed that which was not good. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Shmuel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Shmuel and he said Nichamti Kim Lachti Ashol Lamelech, I have remorse, I have regret that I have appointed Shol as a king. Kishov me acharai, because he has gone away from me. As devarai lehekim, he has not fulfilled my word. And Shmuel became very angry and he cried to Hashem the whole night. The next morning Shmuel got up and he went to meet Shaul. And Shmuel came and Shaul said, Baruch atol Hashem hakimesis dvar Hashem. Blessed is Hashem. I have fulfilled his word. So Shmuel said, Umea kol atzeina ze bosmai. If you fulfill the word of Hashem, what is all of these, the sounds of the sheep that I hear, and the sounds kol habokar anechi shemea, and the sounds of the cattle? So Shaul said, we have brought it from Amalek. The nation had compassion on the best of the sheep and the cattle, and we brought it for sacrifices, and the rest we destroyed. And Shmuel said, Heref, in 1 minute, Magida Lacho, I shall tell you what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me last night. He says, Halei im kotanato be'enecho, rei shifti Yisrael oto. Even though you might be small in your own eyes, but you are the head of the Shvatim of Yisrael. The simple pshat is, the simple meaning is, Shaul had great virtues. He was a very great individual. If he wasn't a great individual, he wouldn't have been chosen as the first king in Israel. The fact is that when the kingship was given to Shaul, at that time HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give it to him forever, he and his children afterwards. He had great virtues. One of his great virtues was that he was a very humble person. Fact is, when Shmuel first met him and he told him that you are going to become the king of Israel, when he came back, he never told his father this. He didn't tell anyone. And then when Shmuel came to look for him and to anoint him, he went to hide. He was a very humble person. Now, humility is a good quality. It's a wonderful quality, but there's sometimes when you have to step out in front. Sometimes the position requires that you be in the forefront, not in the back. Like we spoke not long ago. Anosi, a leader, he has to be in the front. Imato koten beinecho. See? He said that the chomalo omal metavatson, the nation wanted to have compassion. So the question is the nation. But what about you? No, I let them have their way. Let them have their way. Why? Because you're a humble man. If you're small in your own eyes, but you must really realize that you're a sheaf to Israel, you're the king of Israel. The king of Israel might be small in your eyes, but not, you're not allowed to be small in the people's eyes. You have to be their leader. You have to lead them and not let them lead you. That's the simple meaning. There's another meaning that Rashi brings. That is, you are from Binyamin. Now Binyamin, he says, in cotton, atobe inecho, if you might feel that you're small and not too important and not too strong, you should realize that you come from the strongest Shevet. You come from Binyamin. Binyamin was from the strongest, the most obstinate, the most determinations. Where do we see that from? It states that when it came to crossing the sea, so we all know the story that Yehuda went in first, Nachshon ben Amidonav went first. No one would go into the raging seas and Yehuda went first. But the Chazal tell us, there's another Chazal that states, not so easy. Binyamin went first. When it came to go into the raging seas and everyone was afraid, everyone moved back. But both Yehuda and Binyamin moved forward. And Yehuda started to throw stones at Binyamin because they wanted to be first to the sea. And why did they all go forward? Because they were both kings. From Yehuda was to come Malchus Yehuda, Malchus David, the kingship of David,
And from Binyamin was to come the kingship of Saul. And Binyamin was the Shevet, was the tribe that never bowed to Esau. They used to pride themselves in that. Every son bowed to Esau. When Yaakov Avinu was coming back from the house of Laban, and he was confronted by Esau and his 400 men, so it states that everyone stood in line and they all bowed to Esau. Everyone except Binyamin, because Binyamin wasn't born yet. And Binyamin always prided themselves in that. The fact is, it states that that was the reason when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to build his Beis HaMikdosh, he built it in the territory of Binyamin, because the Beis HaMikdosh is the symbol of Shechinas Hashem, where there they identify with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Binyamin was the only one that never identified with Esau. It's interesting, that's the son of Rochel. Yosef also had to bow, but at the same time that he bowed, it states he stood up straight to protect Rochel from the gaze of Esau. So Yosef made a compromise. See? He bowed, but he stood up straight. But Binyamin never even bowed. So therefore, Shmuel rebuked Saul. Imato koten beinecho. You might feel that you are a weak person yourself, but you should know that you come from Reishif to Yisrael. You come from the strongest of the tribes of Israel, of Binyamin. Being shachacho Hashem lemelech haYisrael, and you were anointed as the king of Israel. It's interesting to note, you know, we always talk a lot about democracy. See, this is the whole world talks about democracy. Democracy is a good thing, but it has one fallacy. There's no leadership. Because the leaders must do exactly as the people tell them. Because they're put into office by the people. Democracy means a government by the people. So there's no leadership. What happens if the leaders do not like the people say? They're voted out of office. Simple. Bush is a good leader, President Bush, as long as the people are happy with him. If not happy with him, so it's goodbye Charlie. Comes the elections, finished. Unless he can manage to convince the people that they're still happy with him. And so is it with all democratic leaders. So it's no leadership. It's very true what Abraham Lincoln said. It's a government of the people and by the people and for the people. The people govern themselves, but there's no leaders. Not so with Klal Yisrael. By Klal Yisrael it says, Som tosim olecho melech. You shall place a king over yourselves. And this king that becomes a king over yourselves, it says, Tehe emoscho olecho. Emosei olecho. The fear of the king shall be on you. He shall lead you, not you shall lead him. He shall go in front, not you shall go in front. So Shmuel said, what are you saying? You're saying that the nation had compassion on the sheep and the goats, but you're the king, not them. What are you, an elected official? You had to bow to their demands because you were afraid that at the next election you would lose the vote. You were Atova Yimshochacho Hashem Lemelech Al Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed you as a king over the people, not as a king under the people. Vayishlachacho Hashem ba'derech, and Hashem sent you on a journey, on a mission. And he said, Ve'acharam to'as achatoim. He says to destroy them. And he says to fight with them ad kaleisem esom, until they destroy totally. And why didn't you listen to the voice of Hashem? And you have done evil in the eyes. So then Saul tried to still get out of it.
He said, look, I did everything that they said, except I brought back Amalek. And then I brought back Agog the king. And then I brought back the animals for sacrifices. So Shmuel said, Achefetz Lashem be'eles uzvochim pishmeya be'kol Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would rather have animals for sacrifices than someone to listen to his command. Zvochim pishmeya be'kol Hashem. Or Shinei Shmeya Mizevach Teb Lahakshiv Bechele Ve'eli. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants far greater than sacrifices that you should listen to his word. Then he told them like this. He says, Chatas, you should know, Chatas Kesem, Mary. Mary, this is rebel. To do less than the Almighty, if the Almighty tells you to do something and you do less than he tells you, that's a Chatas Kesem. Chatas Kesem Kshomim, that's like idolatry. It's like idolatry. The oven usrafim hafzar. Hafzar means to press to do more. To do more than Hashem says is also oven usrafim. That's also idolatry. He told them, when you do less than you commanded, you should know that's idolatry. When you do more than you commanded, that's also idolatry. Here we come back to the same thing that Shlomo HaMelech said. There's no difference than doing less or doing more. That's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded. At points, Shaul wanted to do less. At points, he wanted to do more. He wanted to be more compassionate than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says both is idolatry. Why? Because idolatry is when you listen to other forces in the world, not to Hashem. The Yorei Elokim, like Yosef said, Es Hashem ani yorei. That means I listen to Hashem and no other person. I'm not afraid of anyone else. Lo yiris ish. Only Hashem. Yani said, Mo'astas dvar Hashem. And because you did this, you have despised the word of Hashem. You showed that you're above the word of Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told you to destroy all of them. You said not like that. All of the animals, you said not like that. All the king, you said not like that. This shows you have despised his word. You have not subjected yourself to fulfill his word totally. By Moasko Mimelech, and therefore you are no longer capable of ruling. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has despised you from being a king. So then Shaul admits. He says to Shmuel, Chotosi, I have sinned. Ki avarti pi Hashem v'dvarecho. I have transgressed Hashem's words. Then he says, why? Ki yoreisi asa'on v'ashma b'kelon. Because I was afraid of the nation and I listened to their voices. Again, the Medrash says here, who was he afraid of? Daige Adomi. Powerful people. A leader is not easy. It's easy to be a leader over people who are easygoing. But he had people like Del Geadomi, who was a tremendous stature. Yoreisi mina om. I feared the nation. Once he said this, then he totally disqualified himself as king. Because a king, a nation has to fear the king, the Torah said. Same Tosim Alecha Melech Shte Emoso Olov. That the king, the fear of the king must be on the people. Not that he fears the people. Once he fears the people, then the people are leading. He's not a king. He's a zonof, he's a tail, not a rosh, not a head. So he asked for another chance. And Shmuel said no. Kimo Astu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu no longer has any joy from your kingship. So Shmuel went, and as he went, it states, "Vayachazek b'knaf mi'ilei vayikora." He took a hold of the corner of his garment, and it was torn.
various opinions in the Medrash, who tore who. Was Shmuel trying to hold back Shmuel, or Shmuel tore his garment? One Medrash says that he tore Shaul's garment, and Shaul told him, and Shmuel told him, he said, I'm tearing your garment, and this is a shimon, this is a sign. Misha yichreis knaf miloi hu yimlech taktov. There'll be a man that one day will tear your garment, and the one who tears the corner of your garment, he will be the king. And that happened with later on with David, when Shaul was in the cave and David tore his garment, and at that time it states that Shaul said, Yodati ki melech timlech, I know he will reign. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has torn from you Mamlechus Yisrael, the kingship of Yisrael, and he has given it now to someone that's better, and he will not change his mind. Then it states, the Gemara tells us in Masechet Yuma, in this vein, it says, that actually the germ of this Aveira by Shaul was there for a long time. Mother tells us, Omar Papa, Mibnei Manen Shaul, Mibnei Shemochel Al Kfeide. This all goes back to the very beginning of his reign, where he was Mochel Al Kfeide. He waived his honor. See, it states in Yud, in Shmuel Yud, that after Shmuel brought back Shaul and he crowned him, and everyone came to praise the king and to say Yechi HaMelech, and everybody came to pray tributes, Uvenevliyal Omru, there were some bad people, evil people, and they said, Ma Yeshienu Zer, Vayvizuhu, Vilayvila Mincho. They said, This man will save us? Who is he? Who's made him king? We never agreed he should be king. He's going to be our savior. And they disgraced him, and they refused to bring a mincho, a tribute to him. Vayihi kemachrish, and Shaul, in his good naturedness and in his humility, was silent. It says that was the beginning of his downfall. The Gemara brings Al Shemochel Al Kfeidah, he had no right to do that. At that point, he had to show strength of character. He had to show his kingship. And that was the beginning of it. The story continues. The story continues that Shmuel ordered that Agog be brought before them. And it states, Vayelech Elov Agog Ma'adanos. And the Targum brings Mefunak. Evidently, Agog, according to some interpretations, who was the ruler of this mighty nation, he was a Mefunak. He was a gentleman, a very gentle looking person. And Shmuel took Agog. And he said, Kasher shikla noshim charbecho, kein tishkal minoshim imecho. That just as you have made mothers childless, you have killed their sons, so shall I make your mother childless. And I shall kill you with the sword. Vayashev Shmuel es Agog lifnei Hashem b'Gilgol, and they killed Agog. The Medrash says that they killed him in a very cruel, ruthless manner. Generally, it's brought beile lecho misi yofe, that if you do have to give someone the death penalty, you give him the finest death possible. See? Don't make him suffer. Here the Medrash brings that they killed him in a very long-suffering, cruel way. The question is asked, why? See, why did they do that? So the answer to that is like Shmuel said, just as you killed Bachur Yisrael, you killed the youth of Israel, and you made their mothers childless, so shall happen to you, because Mida Keneged Mida, the Rishonim bring, this is part of the creation. Justice is part of the creation. It is not something that we can overlook. It states Amishpat Lelakim. These people that feel that justice is given over to them, they are the ones who shall determine what is right and what is wrong. This is like Shlema Melech said, Alti tzadik harbe, alti sochel harbe. Don't be foolish. You are not the ones who determine right and wrong. Right and wrong was given to the first man, Adam Arishon. It was given again to Noach. It was given to all of the nations. And has mishpat lelakim, justice belongs. You could say you could have all of your liberal movements in the world that you want. It will not change mishpat lelakim. It will not change the law of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the law of HaKadosh Baruch Hu must be fulfilled. Justice must be fulfilled. And therefore it had to be fulfilled. That just as he did to others, so shall be done to him. And then Shmuel went home, and he never, from that day, Lo Yosaf Shmuel Lirei Se Shol Ad Yei Meisei Kis Adol Shmuel Al Shol. He never saw Shol again, and he always mourned for the downfall of Shol. And but HaKadosh Baruch Hu was happy, finished. He says, I don't want him as king anymore, I'll give it to someone who's better. This is the story in Nach. Now there's a continuation to this, and that is, had Shaul fulfilled the instruction, then that would have been the end of Amalek. Moche emche timche esechre Amalek itachas eshomayim. Then Amalek would have been finished, and there would have never been a Haman, and there would have never been a gzera, a decree, lahashmid, lahashmid, lahareg, eskol ayudim, minar ve'adzokin, tach ve'noshim b'yei mechot. Haman made a decree that all of the Jews of the world, because they were all under the rule of Ahasuerus in his 127 medinas, all of the Jews of the world, man, child, women, should all be destroyed in one day, ushlalam lavos, and all of the possessions taken away. Had Shaul fulfilled his instruction, then this would have never happened. It only happened because he saved Agog. And from the fact that he saved Agog during this time, so evidently Agog had a child, fathered a child, and from the child came Haman. And in the Megillah it states Haman Agogi, he was from Agog, and therefore there was the rebirth of this nation. What do we see? We see that when you do not listen to the creator of the world perfectly, can come out a churban, a destruction, a near destruction, heaven forbid, of Kol Yisrael. And there we see the greatest axorius, the greatest cruelty.
So we see that Hamarachim Alachzorim, that someone who has compassion on the wicked, Seifele Achzor Ala Rachmonim. So what is he going to create? He's going to create cruel people that want to destroy compassionate people. Now Haman was born because of the Rachmonus that Shaul had on his ancestor. Yet he didn't show any Rachmonus on Mordechai because of his ancestor. Mordechai also was from Binyamin. Mordechai was a descendant of Shaul. So Haman should have said like this. Haman should have said that Mordechai, he's refusing to bow to me. Le'yichre ve'le'yishtachavde. He will not bend his knee to me. Should I kill him? He should have said no. No, how can I kill him? It was his ancestor that saved my life. Because his ancestor was Shaul. And Shaul was the one that saved my ancestor, Agog. So he should have saved my life. So the one that was saved by the compassion of Mordechai's ancestor showed no compassion on Mordechai or his people. What do we see from this? We see, don't rely on the compassion of the enemy. That's what it states in Aloha. When you go up to war against an enemy, especially Amalek, don't be marachim, because they will not be marachim on you. Don't be marachim on Agog, because you think he'll be marachim on you. You really think so? Have compassion on the Nazis and on the Germans. You think they'll really be compassionate on you? Are you that great of a fool? See, that's what we see from here. And this is brought out in the Pizman. There's a Pizman, a song that we sing after Megillas Esther. So it states, Homan Eidia Eves Avesov V'leizoch Harach Meishol. Homan did not choose to remember the Rachmim of Shaul. Ki bechemlosei al Agog neled oyev. This enemy was born because of the compassion that Shaul had on Agog. But he chose to forget about it. Another thing is that Mordechai and Esther were the ones who stood up against Haman. It was very proper for Mordechai and Esther, because Mordechai and Esther, the Gemara tells us, were descendants of Shaul, both of them. Esther she came from Alochim, Mishpacha Shaul, and they were from Binyamin. And it was Binyamin that was given the task. We said, either Yosef or Binyamin. First there was Yeshua, and then Shaul. They were given the task, the Bnei Rochel, to destroy Amalek. Yeshua started to destroy them. But Vayachlesh, he only weakened them. Al Pi Adibor HaKodesh Baruch Hu, for some reason, said, that's it now, no more. But Shaul was given the task now to finish the job. He didn't. So Mordechai and Esther took care of some unfinished business. So it was very proper that they stood up. They came to be Misakin, they came to fix what Shaul had not done. But unfortunately, since it wasn't done in its proper time, so they couldn't kill all of Amalek. They killed Haman and they killed his 10 sons, but they couldn't kill the rest of the Amalekim. So therefore they're still in the world. And then it's interesting to note that what was the confrontation, this final point? What was the confrontation between Mordechai and Haman? Lo yichra v'leishtachavda. That was the confrontation. What was Haman's whole problem? Lo yichra v'leishtachavda. This man won't bow to me. Kol avdei amelech. The king has decreed that all of the servants of the king, korim u'mishtachvim lo Haman, they all bow down to Haman. Also,
Kealehai. He made himself into a god, into an idolat, into a Avodah Zarah. Umotchai lo yichra vele yishtachar. Umotchai refused to bow. This was the whole confrontation. Why did Mordechai refuse to bow? He made himself into idolatry. But there was a deeper reason. The Medrash brings it. Mordechai told Haman, when Haman said, you better bow to me, because he said, all of your nation bowed to my grandfather. All of your nation bowed to Esav, my grandfather Esav, so you better bow to me. So Mordechai told him, you're mistaken. He said, my grandfather never bowed to you. I'm from Binyamin. And Binyamin is le'yichra ve'le'yishtachar. Binyamin doesn't bend his knee to anyone, except to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why the Beis HaMikdash is in our territory. And we won't bow. He was the Yore Elohim. He says, es Elohim ani Yore. I bow to Hashem, no one else. This was the total opposite of Shaul. Mordechai had no fear. He had no fear of Haman. He had no fear of Ahasuerus. And he had no fear of his own people. He says, I don't bow to Haman. Not like Shaul, who said, Ki yareisi mina om, that I had fear from my nation. So he was masaking. He came to fix, he and Esther, what Shaul failed at. It's interesting that this evening I was at a memorial meeting for former Prime Minister Menachem Begin, and Harry Hurwitz spoke. So he told over a story. He said that when Menachem Begin came for one of the meetings to the United States, one of the presidential meetings where they were applying enormous pressure on him in the state of Israel. So at that time he had an injured knee and hip. So when he got off the plane, he was walking with a cane. And he was met by top officials, ambassadors and Secretary of State. So when they saw him coming off with a cane, so they said that they hoped that the Prime Minister's knee is better. So he said, it's painful, but it doesn't bend. He says, it bends for no one except the Almighty. This is what he told them. It must have been from Binyamin. This is what Mordechai said. Lo yichra vele yishtachar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came, and through the great strength and heroism of Mordechai and Esther, he performed a great miracle. When Hapech and everything was turned over, and Vayitlo, and they hung Haman, and they hung his 10 sons. So it was a victory of Israel over Amalek. Amalek is the power that brings darkness into the world. It blinds the eyes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That could be why here was the downfall of Shaul. When he went up against Amalek, see, they were the ones that got him thinking, don't kill Agog, see, don't kill everyone. Because they are the ones who distort justice in the world. Like all of the nations were afraid, and they came and started war with Israel, and others followed. They distort the right and wrong. So they bring darkness into the world. On Purim there was a great downfall of Amalek. So this means a great light came into the world. This is the light of Purim. And this light comes to us every year, especially in the Golus, where we are constantly up against the power of Amalek. When I mean the Golus, I mean not only outside of Eretz Yisrael, but what I mean is Man Hazer, that we do not have the Beis HaMikdash, where we are constantly up against the power of Amalek. Ezus Hashem, we should be zeicher to a Purim Sameach and to witness the revenge and downfall of Amalek and the elevation of Klal Yisrael.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.